Oakland's Radio. And it's a good afternoon to the lovely Emily Hodge, who's just breezed into the studio like a waft of fresh air.
Hi, Danny.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
So how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Such a nice day.
It is, I know. It's lovely. Right. Emily is a lovely lady that you're based over in Godalming, aren't
you? I am, yes.
And you have a very inspirational story because you're a very young lady. May I ask how old you are?
I'm 36.
36.
But it's not so young.
Oh, it is compared to Graham and I, dare I say, or Graham will back me down, but yeah. But I wanted to say, in your early 30s, you had a scary diagnosis of cancer.
I did, yeah. So 5 years ago, I had a diagnosis of bowel cancer, just as I was 30 years old. And what was quite interesting was not just the age, but the sort of the situation that I was in when I was diagnosed. Just got married. I was just getting my career on track. I was living in London at the time and was really sort of, you know, becoming the sort of older person that I wanted to be. And then this huge shock came out of nowhere, really. And the diagnosis was something that really changed a lot for me at the time.
Well, I suppose when you're, I mean, as we get older, when you get to my sort of age, you kind of expect these little things to crop up here and there. But when you're in your early 30s, you somehow think that nothing like that's going to happen.
I think we all think we're invincible, don't
we?
Until something happens to us or our friends, we're kind of, it all seems like it's a bit of a dream or a bit confusing. But it definitely led me into a different way of thinking. And I happened to have been working in the NHS at the time. So I was doing a lot of work with other people around their own health, thinking about how they stopped smoking, how they could drink less maybe to be healthier, how they could be happier with their mental health. And so then to have the diagnosis I did when I'd already been working in health prevention was quite interesting to get my head round. But it certainly shaped the way that I recovered and it shaped the way that I do my work today.
So what helped you and what was your inspiration?
Oh, good question. What helped me at the time was being able to acknowledge the things that I was experiencing. I think that we generally are quite shy about being honest about how we're feeling, and especially if they're emotions that are quite difficult. So I've talked a lot about the anger that I had, how scared I was, how confusing it all was, and those emotions are quite difficult for other people to hear and to handle.
I think we do sadly live in quite a society, especially in the UK anyway, where people will say, how are you?
Yes.
And they don't really want you to go, actually, do you know what, I'm feeling a bit rubbish today because bleh, all of this stuff.
I think maybe I sometimes did that a bit too much, but almost in a way I had to be true to myself. So for a long time I was very honest about, I'm not feeling good, I'm not okay with this situation, it's really hard. And then that inspired me really to use the work I'd done before in the NHS and the personal experience I'd been through to shape the practice that I have today around supporting other people to be able to recognise, identify and work out what they're feeling in order to move forward in a better way.
But also I want to add, you're actually very well qualified for what you do as well.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah. No, I mean, not just in your experience, but actually you've been to study and you've got the paperwork and you've, you know, been through.
I did a master's in health psychology, and that was a really lovely way to, I was working in the NHS at the time, so it was a very practical piece of studying where we did lots of work on the theories that I was using every day in my work, and that's really shaped how I do the work that I do today. So I went on to do the coaching diploma in order to shape how I could support people to listen well and to hear what they were saying to themselves, not just be told by other people what they should be doing.
Yeah, there's always lots of advice out there for people, isn't there? If somebody gets some kind of a diagnosis, it's always, well, what you should be doing is drinking lots of green spinach or some such thing. I don't know. So you're nodding your head.
Absolutely. It's something that comes up so much. Our friends and family love us and want the best for us, as often do strangers when they're trying to tell us what we might want to do. Often the advice or the words that are given to us aren't always warranted. Maybe the topic is, but the way it's shared with that person can be quite difficult for them to take on. It's almost this guilty feeling of, well, why aren't you doing yoga or drinking that green juice because it worked for me or it worked for this other person. There's nothing wrong with suggesting those things, but it's often a little bit more resourceful to listen to what the person is saying and listen to what they need, rather than suggesting all these things for them to do, like a list. Here's your to-do list. That can be quite overwhelming for somebody who's been through something quite difficult.
And I guess a lot of people actually just want to talk.
Yeah.
Which is what you offer as part of your service.
Yes.
Listening to people and their feelings and emotions.
We're human, right? We like to be listened to. We like to be heard. We like to be acknowledged that what we've said has been understood, and there's nothing that can come second to that in terms of seeing that you've shared your experience and somebody's heard it and understood it. Sometimes it doesn't have to be that there's an answer and what you should do now. It's just, you know, I've offloaded and I've managed to talk about that. And one of the things that I do in my work is help people to articulate their experience in order for them to work out how to move forward with it, despite it, or from it.
Absolutely. I suppose also coming to see somebody like you is very important, because not everybody wants to burden their friends or their family.
Definitely. And I know I certainly did that for a while. And I think you have to recognise when you're talking about something that's going on. And it's almost catching yourself and saying, you know, I recognise I'm saying these things a lot. I recognise I'm not getting the responses that I think I need. And so I recognise I might need the support from somewhere else or someone else. You know, and there is this support. There's sort of levels of support. You can go to your GP and ask for certain types of support after you've been through something like cancer, or if you're living with a chronic illness. You know, they are different experiences, but you will usually process them in a very similar way in your mind, which is to go through a sort of grief cycle around what's just happened to me. I feel angry about it, and then you sort of come through it in an acceptance way, and then you want to move forward from it. So yeah, there's services that you can find that will be supportive in many different ways. And I am just adding to those because I felt the gap when I wanted something like what I now provide.
And you work with a number of organisations as well. Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, I'm really lucky to partner and work with different charities. Examples are Shine Cancer Support, which is a young adults with cancer national charity. They started only about 5 or 6 years ago, and they've grown phenomenally. Work with Macmillan, a huge cancer charity, obviously, in some of their local organisations. Worked with I'm in touch with people like the Phyllis Tuckwell Hospital. You know, it's really nice to be able to say, here's what's provided, here's what's in our community, how can we all link up and find each other. I've got another friend who is brilliant in the work that she does. As she's a cancer survivor herself, and she provides mentorship for people when they've also been through breast cancer or their own particular cancer. So finding those people around is what's the most important thing. And if we can get the word out about ourselves and each other, then when something like that happens to you, or when you know someone else that it's happened to, they can ask for those questions to us. And not that we should have the answers, it's more about helping you work out what the best answer for you might be.
Exactly. So if somebody was listening to this and they just had, say, a cancer diagnosis, mm-hmm. what would you recommend them to do first of all? I mean, clearly they're already under the medical umbrella because they yep. would have been told, but not yep. all. Sometimes the way people, the medical people deliver that information is yeah. not Yep. terribly well, or not very well thought out.
It's a really, really good point. I'm not medical, and I've never claimed to be, but a lot of us want, it goes back to what I was saying about being heard. I think if somebody's just been through it, there's almost a process. So the first thing I would say is, when you're ready, can you find someone else who's been through something similar? That can sometimes be too soon if you do it very, very quickly, but and you don't really want to sit there and compare your experience to someone else, because that can be quite difficult. But equally, finding that other people have been through a similar experience or have the emotions like you do is really powerful, because you don't want to feel alone. You don't want to feel like you're the only person thinking these things, which are really shocking to you sometimes. Finding the group, the support circle, the person that is the one that you feel better with will be really important. And I tend to work with people who are slightly out of their, let's use inverted commas, journey, because naturally where I'm a coach, we tend to think about how you might move forward from your experience. So I might have somebody come to me who's 2, 3, 4 months out of their cancer treatment. They've been through the sort of shock cycle, the treatment, the illness, their body's getting a little bit better, but their mind is taking a little while to catch up. And so I'll work with them to really integrate all the things they've understood about their experience and what their goals might now be, what energy they have, what pace they can go at. You know, we find out so much more.
Sorry about that. Very loud motorbike past our window.
It sounded quite good. Yeah, we find out a lot more about ourselves when we've been through something that takes us off our normal path, and discovering who we are now can be very, very enlightening, but also quite scary, because sometimes we didn't want to not be the person we were before. So my advice, what would I say to somebody who has just been diagnosed or going through it? Find the right people that are going to be supportive of you. Get to a place where you are listening to yourself. You lose a lot of control in this situation. You relinquish control to a lot of professionals, and remembering what's right for you and your mind is really important. Like we said about people telling you, you know, well, have you tried this? It's okay for you to say, no, and I don't think I want to try yoga yet. I'm not ready for it. Or I can't go running yet. I'm not ready for it. Being strong in your own mind.
That's good advice, definitely. And if somebody wanted to find out more information about you and the service that you offer, where would they find that information?
They can find a number of places. I'm on various social media channels. So I'm on Twitter as Coaching Emily. My website is coachingemily.com. And on there, there's some additional information like my blog and videos that you can access and obviously add to, comment on, which is always lovely. We also had a webinar that I put on 2 weeks ago, and we're going to be putting out the date for the next one soon. That was for moving forward from a cancer diagnosis. But it looks like a lot of people have sent that replay to their family and friends. So I'm considering,
that's interesting. Good.
Yeah. So the carers, the loved ones of the people around us.
Yeah.
So that could be the next topic of the next one. So supporting somebody else going through a difficult, challenging time.
I think that is probably a very good one, because in fact, it's National Carers Week coming up quite soon.
Of course it is.
And carers do go through a very difficult time themselves in terms of, you know, the emotions and things that they go through. So that sounds like a really good topic, actually, for your next webinar. Yeah. I'm not dictating what you should do.
That's it, sorted. But you're right. Again, it's that being heard, isn't it? It's important.
Absolutely. Well, we need more people like you in the world, Emily, to inspire us and to, you know, just think it through when we do get these diagnoses and things happen. And sadly, there's 1 in 2 people now that get diagnosed with cancer, which is a ridiculous statistic. So at some stage, a lot of us are going to have to deal with it. So having the mental strength and coming to see somebody like you to help you on that journey is vital.
And I think being honest about it, you know, I'm very honest about my experience. It wasn't nice. It wasn't pretty.
No.
And that's I hope, useful, because I'm not the sort of person who sits there and says, I'm amazing now. Yeah. We've all still got a long way to go.
Yeah. Oh, Emily, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for coming into the studio.
Thanks for having me. Brooklyn's Radio.